Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Windows on the World. It's Tuesday. I'm Mark Windows coming to you from the UK. And over in the UK, we have been having quite an interesting time recently. And my last show on Sunday is what we're going to be referring to today, but expanding on it. It was called COVID Protest and Puppets. And it really is about the way that the globalists use the anti-globalists to implement their globalist policies. And it's an interesting thing. At Trafalgar Square, a few weeks ago, Trafalgar Square in London, there was a big meet-up. People who were opposing the draconian law of COVID-19, the COVID-19 Act, which is actually underpinned by the 1984 Act, which included forced vaccination or mandatory vaccinations and detention, if necessary, from around 1976 when this act was changed. It's referred to as the 1984 Act, probably for a good reason. But what should have actually happened was that the Civil Contingencies Act of 2004 should have been applied along with this new COVID Act, because the Civil Contingencies Act had to be reviewed every month, 28 days actually, every 28 days, because during the time of a pandemic, you're in an emergency, and an emergency has to be reviewable. But what we seem to have now is emergency legislation, which carries on for 2 years. So the original idea of the protest was to actually call this out and start getting that legislation changed. It was, of course, hijacked by various groups. And now it has been well and truly hijacked by all and sundry. In other words, the state has taken over. And we didn't really need the state to take over, in that we had useful idiots up there spouting nonsense. And phrases such as choose your side, which of course is polarizing issues into fighting the police. And that's exactly what happened. We've seen more and more police forces getting more and more draconian over here. Nothing quite like what we've seen in the States so far, but it's getting there. And it's been interesting to watch. I did a whole analysis of this on Sunday, and the whole idea of strategy. Strategy is so important. And in the UK, we've had so many of these controlled opposition protest groups, the most recent one, of course, being Extinction Rebellion, George Soros funded, and really a template for global governance under the United Nations Agenda 21. They actually lobbied for citizens' assemblies. Citizens' assemblies are basically the public being steered into the intended outcome, a bit like sales, really. So the window salesman comes round your house and says, would you like the green one or the blue one? Well, we haven't got the green one, so the blue one's on offer. A little bit like that. It's called Delphi technique. So they got the public to agree to having their houses retrofitted for up to £25,000 because of climate change, of course. And they did this on the back of a monumental lie, and they did it on the back of people such as Miles Allen, who's a climate modeler from Oxford University. Miles Allen was caught out in a landmark case brought against the oil companies by several lobbyists in San Francisco. And the judge actually called out Miles Allen and said, Mr. Allen, you've made it look as though there are 10,000 parts per million of CO2. And he said, well, actually, Your Honor, I have. Sorry about that. And there were several other mistakes. This, of course, was not recorded, and the lobbyists who were going to record the case forgot to turn the camera on. So the evidence is lost, but not forgotten, because it's in the court record. This is a bit of a side issue, but it's the sort of thing that we've been covering over the past couple of years. But today we're going to talk to Chris Powis, who's in Hertfordshire, which is just north of here. I'm in Kent, overlooking the end of the Thames estuary. Actually, I've just seen the world's biggest container ship go past. To me, this is big news. When I go into the country and see these things happening, it means a lot to me. The world's largest container ship has just gone past. Yes, the Algeciras. Look it up if you like. But we're going to be talking about this Extinction Rebellion and how they are stepping up their activities because now, of course, we are into the reemergence of the climate change agenda, because COVID-19 is pretty much dying on its arse in the UK, although we are having regional lockdowns. And of course, Scotland has never quite recovered from this lockdown. They're still locked down up there. But the whole lockdown within itself is also a fantasy, because we're not really locked down. It's a psychological operation, and you can actually go anywhere you want, because as the police have openly admitted, we haven't got the manpower to make everybody stay in their houses on the back of this monumental fabrication. But I'm just going to read something out before we introduce our guest today. And this is from an internal document from the Soros-backed and globalist enforcers, Extinction Rebellion. One of their aims was get this. And you're going to like this, because it's very similar to Antifa, BLM, and of course, all the template type protest groups. But interesting to see what it actually said. One of their aims is to build structure, community, and test prototypes in preparation for the coming structural collapse of the regimes of Western democracies, now seen as inevitable due to stored up crisis, thus preparing a foundation to transform society and resist fascism and other extremes. Well, that means opposition, of course. This includes creating, rising from the wreckage, a citizens' assembly based on sortition. So they actually enabled these citizens' assembly groups to be put in, where the public basically become turkeys voting for Christmas, and they really lose their property, or they lose a good portion of their investment in their property by putting a lien on it through Extinction Rebellion. Now, this group are absolutely comedic, because what they tend to do is they do things like yoga as a protest. So they'll go into a really busy road and they'll start doing yoga on it for no reason at all. And they also do things like disco dancing outside Buckingham Palace. It looks absolutely retarded, and of course it is. But today, what they've actually done is they've closed down what is called in the UK the free press. Now, that in itself is a joke, of course, but it says print protest, fury as Extinction Rebellion. They have actually blockaded newspaper print works despite campaigns to tackle the climate crisis. Well, it says here, Brits were left furious this morning as Extinction Rebellion protesters launched an attack on the free press by blockading print works. Dozens of eco-warriors have blocked roads near print works in Broxbourne, Hertfordshire, which is where our man on the ground, Chris Powers, is actually residing, and Knowsley near Liverpool, and close to Glasgow, halting deliveries of national newspapers. Now, this is absolutely hilarious, because, for one, nobody really buys newspapers anymore, and the newspapers which are online are struggling so much they have to put clickbait adverts onto them to get anyone to actually click onto their bait to make some money for themselves. But it says here, news agents already hit by the coronavirus pandemic have been left fearing a downturn in trade as stands were left empty this morning. Delivery rounds were forced to be scrapped at the 11th hour as newspapers were unable to be released from the printworks. Now, what it looks like here is they've kind of created this stupid work of art scaffolding bamboo thing and hung themselves from it. So all as it would have taken is a few coppers to bring this down and then to remove them. And we've got to remember that these are the people who are stupid enough to glue themselves to roads. They actually glue themselves to roads, yeah. And it could have all been over. But of course, Extinction Rebellion are enablers of global governance. And that's where it all ties together. And just to get us going, I want to give you a quote from a UK government think tank, which really ties together the whole idea that the globalists need the anti-globalists to implement their policies. Because it was our think tank Demos, which actually stated this a few years ago. Now, Demos is this public policy think tank in the UK. And they are linked to MI5. They told us that when we debated with them about 9/11, which is interesting, actually, as a side issue, because we had a debate with them at Goldsmiths College, which is, yes, of course, you know, rather a bought and paid for type establishment. We had a debate with them, and they couldn't actually argue about the physics of 9/11. What they could argue with was the way that they wanted the public to be able to speak about it. So they actually lost the argument. But get this, this is a quote from Demos, an arm of British intelligence. "The new democracy will work with a combination of government open infiltration and citizens groups taking direct action." Now, we've seen open infiltration, and that is something I've been observing and making films about and writing articles about for years, because it's fascinating the way it actually happens. And it doesn't matter whether it's in a council meeting or whether it's in your protest group. We have these people called change agents who came in on the back of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which was rebirthed in 2010 as Obama's army in, of course, the US. And in the UK, we had David Cameron's Big Society, all part of the same thing. So this is fascinating. The new democracy. I thought we already had democracy. Well, of course, we don't really, but the public think we do. The new democracy will work with a combination of government open infiltration and citizens groups taking direct action. The citizens group taking direct action, of course, are these Soros-backed and NGO-backed fake protest groups, which are merely enforcers of global governance. Now, the founder of this group, Extinction Rebellion, or one of them, the very entitled, very well off, with her mortgage paid, eco-activist and ayahuasca drinker, Gail Bradbrook, stated this: in social change theory, which she's studied, people react to emotions, not logic and fact. So the whole of this is being driven by emotion. And we've seen that with the protests in London. We're now being told we're going to have more protests in London about the lockdown. Now, of course, we've had Jeremy Corbyn's brother Piers getting arrested as often as he can, which is pushing the police in the UK into a difficult position. For anyone who doesn't know, Jeremy Corbyn was the failed leader of the failed potential leader of the UK Labour Party, which is now predictably back under control of the City of London through Keir Starmer, who's now the leader of that party. Well, this is very interesting. So we've got this revolutionary spirit, and the revolutionary spirit enables the state, which is what my show on Sunday was all about. And I wanted to expand on this a bit more because it's such a big deal. People still don't get this. The revolutionary believes that he is actually in real time working towards a solution. Of course, what he's actually doing is already factored into the overall plan. He is merely a part of the plan, so the opposition becomes part of the enforcement of the intended outcome. So you put people between two lies. You make them choose. You go, choose your side, which is what these idiots have been saying in London at these protests, which is basically antagonizing the police to have to take a side and inciting civil unrest, really. That's what it's about. And of course, that's what the state wants. So I find this very fascinating. I went into it in great detail in that show. And do please have a listen to it at windowsontheworld.net. It's in our Sunday live show section. But I wanted to go back first to a document from 1987, and it was called Our Common Future. It was also known as the Brundtland Report, and it really kind of got the Sustainable Development Agenda 2030 New Global Governance strand in place. And it was interesting, actually, because it said, how are individuals in the real world to be persuaded or made to act in the common interest? The answer lies partly in education, institutional development, and law enforcement. Of course, education meaning indoctrination into the sustainable development goals, where, of course, you've got to save the planet and you've got to give everything up to do it. But it's not really about saving the planet. It's, of course, enabling global governance through the World Bank. It says most important, effective participation in decision-making processes by local communities can help them articulate and effectively enforce the common interest. So here we have local communities can help people articulate and effectively enforce the common interest. These people are called change agents. And then we go to our global neighbourhood, a report of the Commission on Global Governance from 1976. It says there is no alternative to working together and using collective power. It's all the Saul Alinsky stuff. In other words, if you're not with us, you're with the terrorists, to create a better world. At the global level, governance has been viewed primarily as intergovernmental relationships, but it must now be understood as having involving non-government organisations, the NGOs, of course, which were shadow government, citizens' movements, of course, like Extinction Rebellion and the end of Occupy, which was taken over by George Soros. And now, of course, you've got Extinction Rebellion, Black Lives Matter, it doesn't matter which one, Antifa, they're all the same thing. Citizens' movements, multinational corporations and global capital market. Interacting with these are global mass media of dramatically enlarged influence. There must be an agreed global framework for actions and policies to be carried out at appropriate levels. A multifaceted strategy for global governance is required, and oh boy, have they done it. And this is from the World Government Summit in 2019. It's basically saying that there must be partnerships among various stakeholders in every country, the state, academia, private sector and NGOs, and through regional and municipal administration. We have in the UK, the same as in the US, we have mega councils and mega regions being formed, taking away all local accountability. And it said all stakeholders should play a role in the SDGs. And it says, which is not some kind of disease, it's the Sustainable Development Goals of the United Nations, which of course involves immunisation, or as we call it, vaccination, because we're conspiracy theorists, of course. The SDGs are at the heart of all policy, national and local. They are foreign policies and at the core of the strategic political framework. So with all that in mind, and this global governance structure that we've been talking about, and the controlled opposition ready to do their job in bringing in what is going to happen over the next few months, which is going to be more draconian lockdowns because of people who are going out there and trying to get arrested and being fake revolutionaries with no strategy, who are enabling the state. I'm going to introduce Chris Powis from Hartford. So, Chris, how did you cope without having your newspaper this morning?
Oh, I was in deep shock, you know. But
I thought you were in Hartford.
Well, first of all, good afternoon to everybody, and if you're in Europe, good evening. But I actually think Extinction Rebellion should be called the Low IQ Pride Movement, because I think that would be more apt, wouldn't it? Because most of them seem to have a very low IQ.
But well, something's gone wrong, Chris, in the way that they look at the world, because they have this simplistic idea that if they're doing something, it's better than doing nothing. Well, if you're going to do yoga or disco dancing, either go to a self-isolating club or go to a yoga class. Don't do it in the middle of Westminster Bridge, you know. But of course, that is where the activism really is, because all those selfish people in their cars are stopping them doing yoga in the road, aren't they?
Well, that's right. I mean, what gets me is that they're allowed to do it, because if you look at this print work, which they're supposed to have, which they did occupy, it's off of a freeway, the A10, which is a main artery road into London. In fact, it's years old. It's the Romans originally built it. It was Ermine Street, for those of you interested in history. And when you look at these print works, there's traffic lights to allow vehicles into the place. That's how big it is. And as far as I know, there's only one road in and one road out. And normally, if you stood outside for longer than, say, 30 seconds, there'd be security blokes jumping on you, because it's like Fort Knox. There's all barbed wire fencing around.
Absolutely. How do they get away with it? With a little help from their friends. We'll be back after the break. See you in a couple of minutes. 800-313-943 if you want to phone in.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Oh, welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm with Chris Powers today, and he's in Hertfordshire, and he's been suffering from a lack of newsprint due to the actions, the selfish actions of the UK globalist-backed, anti-globalist pressure group Extinction Rebellion. And it's actually causing quite a stir because the government are now using Extinction Rebellion to close down protest, which we knew would happen in the first place. This is going to be the next phase. So they let them get away with it. They let Emma Thompson pontificate from a pink yacht in the middle of London's Oxford Street. They have let them glue themselves to government buildings and even roads. They have caused traffic chaos all over the country. But now it's time for them to also bite the dust. The ironic thing about this is we have this, I think actually you had him in America for a while, but unfortunately you've sent him back to us, Piers Morgan. He said, the irony of this is fabulous. Extinction Rebellion are such unutterable morons. Well, I think that's a bit of the pot calling the kettle there, because Piers Morgan is the most uninformed TV presenter in the UK. And that's saying something. But just before the break, Chris, we were talking about how these unutterable morons have actually been getting away with it for so long. And you were saying that, well, they could have only really got away with this with a little help from their friends. In other words, the security is so tight at these places. How did they do it? How did they do it, Chris? Do you know?
Well, God knows. I mean, what gets me is that there's lorries and cars in and out there all the time. And I've been past there in the early hours of the morning, and all the lights are on and there's cars and lorries going in and out. So how did they erect this bamboo framework and mess around? I mean, surely, you know, that to get the bamboo framework there must have taken a lot of organisation.
Well, it looks like one of those art installations, doesn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, it must have taken ages for them to set it up. Now, this is the major point which the idiots like Piers Morgan. Slip of the tongue there.
Yeah, Piers Corbyn.
No, we're talking about Jeremy Corbyn's brother just before the break, who's got this habit of getting himself arrested, and he wants to martyr himself as the voice of COVID-19 in the UK, but he's bloody useless in an argument, funnily enough, with Piers Morgan. So the two Piers were in an argument, and yes, it was pointless. However, we've got this kind of thing with David Attenborough coming in now. So he's actually going against Extinction Rebellion, whereas before, of course, he was all for it. And so what we're seeing now is the state using these globalist-backed, anti-globalist, fake environmental group, Extinction Rebellion, as an example, which we knew in the first place this was going to happen, to clamp down on any future protest. And I think that's the most interesting thing about it, because it's now seemed to have come to the end of its cycle. So they are thinking of basically pulling the plug on it, but taking everyone else's ability to go out and express themselves in groups with it. We already have this law that we can't gather more than 30 people. Of course, thousands gathered at Trafalgar Square, and they've got the actual people have organised these so-called protests, which are really kind of events. They're more like they've got more like the equivalent vibe of a pop conference about them now, because we've got David Icke speaking, Piers Corbyn, we've got these speakers who really haven't got much to say in the respect that this is really about a legal matter which should be sorted out. And it's all got, of course, put into show business and distraction. So, yeah, that's the state of play. But the whole Extinction Rebellion thing has been absolutely enabled by the state. So, yeah, come in with your thoughts there, Chris, because obviously you've been really hurt by the fact you couldn't get your daily paper today.
Well, you know, I mean, it's on my heart. I had to sleep this night because of it. But, I mean, to me, the Sun newspaper, which is Rupert Murdoch's comic, as I call it, that's fit for is cat litter, really. I mean, and are eating your fries out of, because, because really, I wouldn't call it a newspaper. It's a comic.
And yeah, it always was. I mean, of course, it was really famous for girls showing their breasts. That was what it was famous for, Page Three. And that's really how it got its name. It was these girls, and they called themselves Page Three Girls. And so that's really what it was for, with some assorted stories and sort of novelty items in there, really. So, yeah, to actually call it a newspaper is pushing it a bit.
But Rupert Murdoch, when you look at it, he is part of this elite in crowd. And I think he allowed it to happen. And where were the security? What were the security doing there? Because they've got a very high security in that place. So did they have a very long tea break or something? I mean, well, these questions need to be asked. And it's true what you said. Because the entrance is so, narrow, it's enough to get a lorry into. Why were so many police around? Why was it a big hoo-ha? And the BBC, it was headline news on their local radio and national radio.
Yes, whereas they what do seem to have
Square didn't appear at all. They didn't say anything about it on the BBC.
No, that was their over 10,000 people. And, of course, that disappeared off the news. So it's very selective what they actually put out. But, of course, it's all about the common interest and the common good, as we're saying at the beginning. We'll see you after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There are no Public Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. We're talking about the politics of protest. Yes, the controlling of the opposition and the revolutionary spirit, which is quite comedic in the UK, because the revolutionary spirit in the UK, revolutionary ideal, is to lie down in Waitrose, or to do some yoga on Westminster Bridge, or to hang yourself in some bamboo outside one of the largest newspaper distributors in the country. But before we bring Chris back in, I want to quote our national treasure. Now, this man is a voiceover artist who has been at the BBC for 50 years, who knows absolutely nothing about the environment, despite the fact that he has narrated hundreds of wildlife programmes. Now, there's a bit of an enigma there, but we're talking, of course, about Sir David Attenborough. Well, Sir David Attenborough, actually. But he said in response to this, that this attack on our free press, society and democracy is completely unacceptable. Okay? Now, the thing is that for ages he's been supporting these waste of space bunch of losers who have just been trained in the goals of sustainable development. And one of them, this is a side issue, but one of these Extinction Rebellion protesters came into a talk that I was giving. And he started screaming, "You're lying," which was ironic because I had the UN Charter of 1947 on my slideshow at the time. However, he said, "Don't you realise there's a climate emergency?" And a few people said, "Well, where?" And he said, "Well, don't you realise half the southern hemisphere is underwater?" I said, "No, it's two-thirds, same as usual." So we are dealing with kind of something that is beyond idiocy. But what he said was, humanity is at a crossroads. The natural world is under serious threat, and the consequences could be apocalyptic. Now, who feeds him this rubbish? Is he just reading it off a bit of paper? Maybe we'll never know. But a quote from Boris Johnson before I bring Chris back in. And he tweeted after this today about the closing down of the... yeah, no irony intended, free press in the UK. He says, a free press is vital in holding the government and other powerful institutions to account on issues critical for the future of our country, including the fight against climate change. It is completely unacceptable to seek to limit the public's access to news in this way. Well, I think that the hypocrisy there is a bit staggering, isn't it, Chris?
Hello. Yes. Sorry.
I just sorry, was I boring you?
You caught me out a bit there. Sorry, I have my mic on mute. But yeah, it is. It is hypocrisy. But it's a kind of Punch and Judy show, isn't it? It's a pantomime. That's really what it is. Because as Lenin said, you know, the way to control the opposition is to run it. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's all contrived. And
I think it's so banal. I mean, when you look at, we've talked about this quite a lot, haven't we, about the sort of Soviets, their kind of way of using very simple psychological warfare propaganda. But this is even more banal than the most banal psychological warfare program now. Yet people still seem to be in it. And that's what I find very strange, because there's no sophistication to the propaganda in the UK. But people, maybe there doesn't need to be.
I mean, I noticed this coming in the late 1980s, because I'll be very brief on this. But what happened is I got involved, my background's architecture, and I got involved in a project up in the Midlands in Great Britain. And there was this area of beauty, a beauty spot, where there was plans, a lot of builders had tried to build estates on there, and there was huge protest groups. They didn't want housing estates, etc., etc. So what this developer did is he put in to have a huge industrial area put in, which was going to pump out lots of noisy machines and all this, that, and the other, and then. What happened is some people came along who assisted the movement who were against the industrial area being built. And I went in on one of their meetings. I thought, hang on, I smell a rat here, because these people were professionals. They were professional manipulators. And what happened very briefly is they negotiated on everybody's behalf, the people's behalf, and they used the Delphi technique, which you mentioned earlier, Mark. And what happened? Surprise, surprise, after intensive negotiations with the local authority, what a relief.
Did they reach an agreement, Chris?
Community.
Was it for the common good?
For the common good. And they're going to build housing
right,
for the
then.
Community. Isn't that marvellous? And anybody that went against the housing, how dare you? These people have fought hard on our behalf. Now, go 18 months in back when somebody else tried to put in housing. Oh, nobody wanted housing there. But, oh, no, instead of an industrial area, we're going to have housing. And it's how it was presented to the people. And I couldn't believe how stupid people were.
Well, they still are, Chris.
Yeah.
I don't really get this, because I was talking about this in the show, and this is why I think it's really important. Now, contrary to what's going on in the mainland, in Ireland, in the Republic and the north of Ireland, very interesting things have been going on. And it's taking things a stage further. When you have a coup in a country, first thing that happens is they take control of the media, the TV station. That is rule number one. Well, in Ireland, they had this very, she's a very diminutive lady with a crutch, and they were outside RTE, which is the Irish equivalent of the BBC. It's an absolutely propaganda-laden, disgusting network of change agents. And they had hundreds of people who were ready to go into the building saying, it's ours, we're the public, and we're taking it over. We've had enough of this rubbish. And they didn't get into the building. But I think that the authorities are now going to have to take notice of this sort of thing. In other words, it's the rise of what you call populism. Now, there's good and bad things about this, because what it means is, in effect, that RTE is a commercial broadcaster. So they are going to have to start appealing to the people who want to take over their station, because the whole idea of a broadcaster is that it has to be supported by the public. So in a way, this could be a good thing. And I think there's more strategy with what's going on in Ireland, because I've seen their so-called protests and what they're doing. Because the Northern Irish have been under British rule, they know all about subversion. They're going about it in a different way. They're saying, well, we're all just going to give you our opinions. Everyone should come and have a listen, see what you think, rather than choose your side, which is what's going on with these fake leaders who've put themselves up, these narcissists who've taken over the protests in the UK, on the mainland. Have you been following any of what's been happening in Ireland at all, Chris?
Yes, I have. It's Gemma O'Doherty, isn't it? She got arrested.
Yes, but she was kind of a side issue within this, I think, because what Gemma O'Doherty and John Waters has been on this show, and I've got great respect for John, but they seem to be playing into the hands of the enemy in that they are defining one of the problems as this immigration. Well, why not go for the UN Migration Compact? Why not go to the root of where it's coming from, not the migrants themselves? Because that leaves you wide over to criticism. That's the only criticism I've got of what they're doing.
I agree with you, because the innocent migrant open up a shop in Dublin or wherever, going for them, no. It's the principle of what's going on, which you've got to really hit at, because in the end, we're all cannon fodder and we're all useless eaters as far as the powers that be are concerned. So, you know, whether you're an immigrant or not, it makes no difference. We're going to end up the same way if we don't stick together and work out what's really going on. But I like this idea of what they're doing with RTE. I didn't know that RTE was had adverts or anything like that. I thought it was like the BBC. I thought it was publicly funded. I think they had to pay.
Well, this is my point. They're still dependent on revenue, you see.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, of course, if they're publicly funded, they're dependent on revenue, right?
Yeah.
That's the point. So RTE has been putting out this propaganda, which is pretty vile, actually. I would say it's on a par with the BBC because it's globalists, globalism 101. It's all the stuff that we know is part of an agenda. It's part of the controlled narrative. It's part of the politically correct way of dealing with things. It's part of the empowerment. It's part of the diversity. It's part of the global community. It's all that stuff. And it's all about identity politics. And that, I think, is where you have to be careful, because they're identitarians. So what they're doing is they're going to attack people who are also identitarians. So you go one step above that and you don't bring identitarianism in at all. Because what's happened in the UK is now we've got these protests about these immigrants coming into Dover. And there was this, he calls himself the tiny veteran or the little veteran or something. He's this very short soldier who got arrested by the police. And of course, he gets the sympathy. But the point is that what they're doing is going to be used in the same way in the UK as what Gemma and John have been doing in Ireland. They're going to say that they are far right, you see, which is ironic, really, because John is actually from the old fashioned left. But of course, none of this really matters anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, left and right. I mean, that is just an invention, really. But, you know, as I said earlier, it's all like a charade to steer people in the direction that they want to be steered in. And this is not new. You can go back in history, look at prior to World War One, prior to World War Two. The newspapers were pro before World War One, about 20 years beforehand, they were actually warming people up for it. So by the time 1914 comes along, people were chomping at the bit. And there was a famous MP, British MP, called Arthur Ponsonby. Please look him up, listeners. And he was very much against the war. And he was saying then what people are saying now, a minority, people like yourself and myself, that, you know, what's happening is the press are just manipulating people, and that's all they're there for.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ironic that you've got these complete compromised puppets and hostages of global governments like Matt Hancock and Boris Johnson saying that it's outrageous that Extinction Rebellion are stopping the free press. I mean, it's pure comedy. The whole thing is such a charade that you couldn't make it up now. When you look at Boris Johnson being paraded out by globalists as a hostage of global governance, which is clearly what he is, and you've got this Matt Hancock saying it's outrageous you can't buy a paper. Well, everything we get in the papers is through the intelligence services anyway. So what difference does it make? There isn't any free press, of course, but the point is, once you say things like that, you say, oh, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist, of course. But the I think the unsophisticated nature of it is something which I think is really worth more debate. But is Tom still there in Florida? I forgot all about him.
Yes. Hello. Good day.
Hi, Tom.
Good day, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm going to dive off a little off keel here, but what I want to say is this. I saw this filthy news today about this Cardi B, this rapper here in the United States, talking about Candace Owens as an Uncle Tom, a race traitor and all this, and that Candace Owens shouldn't be married. She's married to a white guy. But then you're in the United States, you've got Kamala Harris, who's married to a white Jew, okay? You got they're trying to mix the races up here in the United States with all these commercials they're running. And nobody's talking about this, Mark. The biggest slave traders in the 1600s were the Portuguese. Are they rioting in Portugal? Lisbon in Portugal? Are they rioting in France? Where the French were and the Spanish are the second biggest slave traders. And the third biggest slave traders of all in the Triangle of Trade were the English. England was not only the third biggest slave traders, and the Dutch were quite big too. But nobody touched the Portuguese, and the Spanish were in second place.
No, but it's the reframing of history, Tom. It's the reframing of history. And that is really what we're talking about, I think. We've got generations of people who know nothing about their own history. And it's ironic that this statue of Cecil Rhodes, they were saying, remove it. But Rhodes would have been absolutely a part of what these people are now doing, because this was a global strategy anyway. They are actually doing the work of globalists, and this is just merely the next phase of it. So it's about the taking away of identity, but through identitarianism. And but all that to me is such a nonsense, Tom, that I don't really engage with it, because once you get to that level of banality, then I think it's kind of, it's bad for your mental health, you know?
Well, yeah, Mark, but you know something, what's going on in England and Great Britain, with the country of Great Britain, is they're bringing all the Muslims in there. They got all these Africans coming in there. And guess what? They're putting the white Anglos, whose families have been in that continent or that country for thousands of years, and they're putting them to the side. They're pushing them to the side. And they're not. The English women are basically not even breeding back their population.
That's true.
They better start doing like they're doing in Hungary. They're better to do like in Hungary. The Europeans better start following the Hungarian model, or there will be no whites in the next 50 years, because the white women are not breeding. I can tell you, it's happened here in the United States. They're putting this guilt on white males and females not to have kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's all a filthy ploy by Zog. It's all by Zog to not have the white Anglo males and the Northern Europeans not to have children. It's a filthy, design, swine, disgrace. And you got this filthy Cardi B writing this filthy rap music. If any white woman, not even Madonna, can write the filth that broad gets away with, in And then she's calling Candace Owens-Dodd as a race bait traitor when this Cardi B doesn't look at Kamala Harris and all these blacks, all these baseball and football and basketball player black guys want a very white women. Who's kidding who here?
And well, I don't
blame the black woman
that...
for being upset. What?
Yeah, well, we're... The thing is that it's very interesting, this, actually, Tom, because I'm part of a charity and there's people in the charity on the trust who are black and some are white. And it's very interesting the way this works, because you can actually start to manipulate the whole politically correct agenda if you know what you're doing, because the whole point is black people don't want to be used as human shields either. And that's the whole point. So I think the whole thing here is the word strategy, Tom. It's about strategy. It's about the way we approach this, because we have to be clever. You know, we have to be clever with this. We'll be back after the break. If you want to stay on there, Tom, you can do. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes.
Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's home to me, and I walk alone.
Okay, welcome back to Windows on the World. Sorry about that, I had a bit of a problem with my microphone. Yeah, we've had a lively chat and debate today. Thanks for the call, Tom. I think we've actually got Charles on the line now. Charles, are you there?
How you doing, Mark? Good to talk to you again.
Been a while, Charles. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is. I guess I hope I'm not off topic, but
doesn't matter if you are.
You were talking about Extinction Rebellion. Kind of reminds me of what Lyndon LaRouche used to call the counter gang theory that they perfected in Northern Ireland. You know, you have the two groups there, the orange and green, you know, and just the you know, the constabulary and the SAS would just play them off against each other, you know.
It came out of the Canadian idea, didn't it? That thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, which is really what the New World system is all about. The communitarian system basically envelops everything. So it looks like there's a multipolar operation going on. In other words, we've got all these disparate-looking groups, but of course they're not. They are there just to impose one agenda. And we're seeing that in the UK, Charles. We've now got all these people who are saying, well, we've all got birth certificates and it's common law and all this, but none of this has got anything to do with the COVID-19 Act, which is really what this is about. And also, once you have these protests, the original one was a great day out. I met people I'd never met before. I met some fascinating people because like-minded people came together. They made their own banners. But now, of course, it's a political issue. And that political issue is no longer of any importance because they are actually railing against things that they don't need to rail against. And what will happen is, again, as in Extinction Rebellion are being used, we're going to get more of a crackdown through the police. It's basically enabling the police to take more power.
Yeah, it's like what's going on in Australia and New Zealand. I don't know if you watch Alex Jones's InfoWars over here, you know, in Austin, Texas. Have you seen the one with the guy in Melbourne? The police are breaking into his home.
Was that Bartello? Yes, I've seen several videos. Yes. Now the thing is, that's Crown. So we are part of that, and that is very worrying because the police being able to do that is unusual. It's unusual even in Australia. So it's very worrying. And I think that these pressure groups are leading the police into those sort of actions in the UK. What do you think, Chris? Have you got an idea on that?
Yes. Yeah. I think you're right because, look that's how really the British Empire was run, and that is you have two groups and you stir up trouble between those two groups, and then you come along as a peacekeeping operation. And it's like David Icke says, problem, reaction, solution. They create a problem, get a reaction, and offer the solution. And that's, you know, with the police. And watch out for the mock statistics, you know, 95%.
Hey, I think we're running out of time. That's it.
Oh, dear.
I didn't realise. Thanks a lot, everyone. See you Thursday. Thanks to Charles and Tom. And, of course, Chris.
Thanks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.